Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Right, who did it? Recently here on Ups and Downs, we were talking about the fact that, there's not that many count-outs, there's not that many disqualifications. And then we get to this episode of Raw, and we went DQ crazy. Do I need someone to blame? So you will write a letter to the bald a-hole at Bald Drive in Bald Town, which is the dumbest thing I've ever said, and then we will be able to sort this matter out. Otherwise, hello. My name is Simon from What Culture. Thank you for joining me as always. And it is time to take the finger of power and give the good bits an up and the bad bits a down for the after show of WrestleMania Backlash, although it's just called Monday Night Raw. Okay, bro, we're out to start Raw this week, and really, because we don't have a WWE Championship on our Monday night program, these guys are basically the main event. But here they were sad, because obviously at the premium live event, they had taken on Roman Reigns and the Usos, and they had lost. Randy Orton especially focused on the big dog, because he was all like, well, you know why he ripped up the contract? Because he knew that we would beat the Usos. And then I heard the words that I wanted to hear, because they still want to unify the championships. Riddle said they're going to go to SmackDown and make sure this is going to happen. I was like, yes, yes, for the love of everything, do it. They followed up with the fact that if the Usos do refuse, it's because Reigns doesn't have faith in his cousins. So they're like pulling the strings here when they got interrupted by the Street Profits. So that is 76 in WWE and 117 interruptions in all of professional wrestling. And they made their point very clearly. They were like, look, we told you after the pay-per-view premium live event, we want to have a title match, so we're demanding it right now. We then did go right into this match, and the Street Profits lost. Whoops. And look, this is always good, it's always fun, but WWE desperately needs to introduce some new tag teams, because we're just going round and round and round and round. But I did enjoy this, so it's getting it up. Montez Ford hit this insane dive, which triggered the commercial break, as is the way. But the real thing that sparked my interest is that there was a little bit of fracas between Randy Orton and Riddle. Now, this was all accidental, but you can just see we're planting the seeds here. And I'm going to lie to you, I'll tell you the truth. When Orton does turn on Riddle, or Riddle turns on Orton, I will stand here and water will come out of my face. There's also an awesome near fall after a frog splash courtesy of Montez Ford, and Randy Orton broke it up at 2.9999. But the finish here, because Montez is a smart wrestler. He was like, well, that was obviously going to do it, so I'll go for another one. But Riddle caught him in midair. He hit the RKO. He got the 1-2-3. Randy Orton looked at him like the proudest father ever. This was absolutely brilliant. Straight after this too, we got it confirmed that it is actually going to be Cody Rhodes versus Theory for the United States title. So I stand by my own theory. The way WWE books is they get a giant hat and they just pull names and situations out of it. So Cody Rhodes, Theory, US title, there's Raw. Now it seems to make sense to me to not put Rhodes in any kind of championship match until he goes to the big one, but look at me, what the hell do I know? And Theory did come out here and his big point was, I ain't worried about this because the last time Cody was in WWE, I was still in diapers. I was like, bro, you don't have that memory, shut up. And then it was time for Judgment Day. And no, I don't mean that the Four Horsemen were here with the Apocalypse. I am talking about Edge, I am talking about Damian Priest, and I'm talking about their new recruit, Rhea Ripley. Although there is something else that's new here, because Edge has got a spangly new haircut. Now, I was a little worried about this explanation, because you know my thoughts on this group if you have watched Ups and Downs before, and unfortunately it did go in the direction I was fearing. However, I figured it out now. They look so damn cool, and there's so much potential here. It's just the stuff they're written down to say, it is absolutely stupid. Because Edge started telling us once again that the reason they had all steered down the wrong path is because of us, the fans, we're always to blame. But then he contradicted himself, because, oh, look at me, I only got in the Hall of Fame, but not, wait, I'm bigger, I'm better than the Hall of Fame. I was like, Edge, just don't say anything. But also, ugly keyboard warriors, which actually made me laugh, because, like, oh my gosh, it's like the most ridiculous insult I've ever heard in my life. Although, you do have to give them some credit, because every time they do this, everyone goes, boo, boo, we hate you. Damian Priest soon got the microphone and said that they'd added an instrument of brutality to the mix. And I put my hand up, even though he couldn't see it, because I wanted to go, Damo, nobody has ever said that sentence in the history of the world. It was in reference to Ripley, of course, and yet, it's our fault, we did it. She doesn't like the fact that people went up to her in airports and got her to sign things and then put them on eBay. Which begs the question, does Rhea Ripley spend her time away from the ring Googling her own signed merchandise to see if she can recognise it? She also hates Liv Morgan, and wouldn't it have been better if she had just said, hey, back in the day, Edge was the ultimate opportunist, and that allowed him to win championships. I want to win championships. I kept losing, so I've gone and shacked up with Edge. And you're going, oh, yeah, that's a really good point. You should do that. So, however, it's the same problem for me. And I've already said it, but I'll say it again. They are great, and they are cool. But then they talk, and I'm like, this doesn't match up at all. It's like the scripts somewhere along the line got mixed up and nobody has noticed. Now, Edge did also tease that there will be a fourth member, so I believe in this. And I think we're going to get a few months down the line and go, oh my gosh, Judgment Day are amazing. But in terms of what they did on this Raw, gotta get it down. It also seems like Edge has done away with his big chair, which is probably for the best. And then we did get Rhea Ripley versus Liv Morgan. This was a lot better. Because while they did get some time here, it was basically Rhea absolutely destroying her until she locked in the Texas Cloverleaf, meaning Liv had to tap out. And then Edge was like a parent at a football game going, get her again, so she did. He was like, ha ha ha, I've done it. We then also had a nice tease because AJ Styles and Finn Balor came out together, so of course you'd have to figure they can team with Liv Morgan and we can do a bunch of six-person tag team matches here. And this got me excited, especially because we can come up with a brand new name for them. I mean, we can't use the one you're thinking of, but how about instead the Slug Society? You know, if you don't know, you don't know, but all this getting up. Now, there was a reason for this, because Finn Balor was going to take on Damian Priest, and this is when we have to go back to the intro, because WWE booked a match and then went, oh, wait, actually, we don't want anybody to win, and we don't want anybody to lose, so it ended in a DQ. This was just Edge spearing Balor halfway through the match, because I think he was worried that Priest was going to lose, but then Styles jumped in there, and he was like, no, you don't, I'm sick of it, and when he turned around, Rhea Ripley was there. He was going to thump her before he thought better of it. This allowed Edge to spear him as well, so once again, the bad guys were standing tall. So you can see what we're doing here. But look, honestly, we did not need a disqualification on this show, especially because there are so many more, so it's got to get it down. We then just had the best segment with Alpha Academy and Kevin Owens, because Chad was all like, hey, I figured out a way to expose Ezekiel. I know a bunch of dudes that do DNA testing, so we can go and get some of his saliva and go and do the test. Kevin was like, well, that sounds absolutely ridiculous, but let's do it. I then got so excited because Kevin told us he had a guest surprise later, and it was going to be his older brother, Ken Owens. And honestly, if you had seen me sitting there and you would have seen my face, you would have thought the meaning of life had just been presented to me. I was so damn pumped. Before all that, though, it was the VIP lounge with MVP or the VIP lounge with MVP. You can pick whichever one you want. The whole point of this, though, is that Cedric Alexander still wants to get with MVP and Omos. And honestly, we got to get a message to Cedric. What are you doing? Have you not realized this is not going to work? This is like when you're in school and you're getting bullied. You think, oh man, I want to be in the cool kids. So you go and talk to the cool kids and they say, go away. Imagine that was a Monday. You don't go on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You just accept the situation and you try and do something else. He must need them for one reason or another, though. And this is where Bobby Lashley interrupted. So I bring it down that 77 in WWE and 118 in all of professional wrestling. He just decked everybody, including Cedric Alexander. The crowd was quiet for this, although they did pick up when Bob went out there, and I'm just sick and tired of seeing Cedric Alexander killed every week, although next week we are getting a cage match between Bobby Lashley and Omos. And I can only presume we're doing this because USA Network saw the Fox had one, so they're like, excuse me, we want one too. But at the moment, this just ain't clicking, at least not for me, and it's getting it down. Sonya Deville then met with Adam Pearce, and her one big question was, I want to know who my opponent is tonight. And honestly, about 8 seconds later, she went, changed my mind, I don't care.
This did lead to an in-ring segment, though, and I really liked it, because Sonya was ready for her opponent when Adam Pearce arrived and said, look, I'm really sorry, Deville, but we had another meeting and we've decided you're no longer the general manager, you're a wrestler, and also you're going to be facing the returning Alexa Bliss.
Better still, Alexa whooped her ass in about 40 seconds and got the pin after the Twisted Bliss. And while she had Lily here, this felt like her old character. Everybody was pleased to see her. Just really good. Sonya also sold all of this wonderfully, like she is really good at the character. And this is how you make some progress in the shortest amount of time possible. It's getting a very easy out.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Kevin Owens then won Raw.
He's the best.
Because, yeah, he came to the ring as Kevin Owens. He had a wig on and he had a grey beard. And the best bit was, he kept this pretense up for around about 8 seconds because he could not handle the fact that Ezekiel was like, oh my gosh, Kevin Owens' brother. This is what I want wrestling to be. I don't care if people get mad. I want goofy wrestling in everything. I want it in WWE. I want it in AEW. I want it in New Japan. I want to get rid of serious wrestling and just do this. Owens used all of this to underline that no one actually believes that Zeke isn't Elias and we're just humouring him. But the whole time Ezekiel just called him Ken. So can we please get some awards for these guys? I think it's very important. The fans also deserve some love because when Kevin Owens ripped the wig off, some of them went, oh my gosh, and they were playing along. And Ezekiel did this too. So Kevin Owens smacked him, Ezekiel fought back, and this is when the Alpha Academy came out and they had the numbers. This rocked is the best thing ever, hyperbole for the win, and I'm giving it up. Adam Pearce was then in the back again talking to Oscar when Becky Lynch interrupted, and I think I may have screwed up my counters. Maybe I didn't. The point is now it's up to 78 in WWE and 199 interruptions in all of professional wrestling. She made a great point. She was like, wait a minute. She's facing Bianca Belair later, and if she beats the champion, she gets a championship shot. That is really dumb.
It is.
Adam seemed to ignore this because he decided he was going to do it anyway. And what it feels like we've done here is realize there are no actual contenders for Bianca Belair's championship, so we're going to do a three-way. I would much rather we had just done Oscar versus Becky Lynch by themselves, but at the same time, a triple threat with that trio, you ain't going to go wrong. Oscar was also absolutely brilliant during all of this, and she was shouting at Becky Lynch, calling her a baby. And if anybody else did it, it wouldn't work. But like I say, the Empress of Tomorrow just knows what she's doing. Veer then destroyed Frank Loman. Frank Loman cut a promo before this where he said, look, I know I could die here, but I have to do this for my family. I was like, what is wrong with your wife and kids? They went, look, Frank, you go out there and sure, you may lose your life, but we need to buy some new shoes. Same as ever though, Frank did get killed here and eventually passed out in the cervical clutch. And look, I like squash matches. It's the right thing to be doing when it comes to Veer, but the fans aren't reacting like I'm sure WWE hoped the fans would be reacting. So I think next week we've got to do something a little bit different and maybe something a little bit feud-like. Like actually have someone walk up to Veer and say, I will fight you, especially because you have a terrible sense of direction and you weren't able to make it for Raw for about 13 years. So I will give it an up to my eyes on it. Cody Rhodes interview followed, and that is always good. He put over Seth Rollins as one of the best wrestlers in the world, but as far as he's concerned, that chapter of his life is now done. He's going to move on to Theory, and he's going to become the United States Champion. And I really wanted to believe this, but I also knew I was watching WWE. Because then it did happen, and it ended in a disqualification. I mean, I thought we were moving away from these, more for me. It's a shame as this was a really fun match, and I also thought it did the world of good for Theory, because everybody sees Cody Rhodes as a super duper megastar now, so the fact he was going toe to toe will make a few people go, oh my gosh, Theory was able to like smack Cody for a bit, maybe he's better than I thought. I don't know why they turned into puppets, but sometimes it happens. What I don't get is that once again, if you do not want somebody to win the match, and more importantly, you don't want someone to lose the match, don't book the match. It's that easy. Like if I go, oh, I don't want to punch myself in the face, I stop myself doing it. I don't just, you know, go absolutely crazy with my fist. But just as we were getting to the crescendo and it kind of looked like maybe, just maybe, Cody was going to become the US champ, there was Seth Rollins. He took him out. Disqualification. We also made sure this feud is not done because he took Cody's head, he put it on Alan the announce table and he gave him the curb stomp. And the commentators told us like, oh my gosh, Cody Rhodes may never come back. So this one's kind of intriguing. It also puts us in an awkward place, so I'm going to do what I always do, ruin the system, because I really enjoyed this match and it had me on tenterhooks, so I'm giving it an up. But when we had that finish, I was just so disappointed. I was so flat. I was like, man, why does Raw have to do this? Also, it was a second DQ of one night. It's got to get it down. I will say I was then pleasantly surprised. The last week, we had seen Doudrop going up to Nikki A.S.H. and saying, listen up, Nikki A.S.H., your superhero gimmick is a pile of trash. Why don't you team with me and we can go and do something about it? So here, magically, they had become a pairsome and they were going after Sasha Banks and Naomi. Now, that one was difficult because I was like, why in 7 days are they already facing the champions? But don't worry about it. What I really enjoyed, though, is that while I would never advocate for a brand new team losing, the reason they did lose here is because Nikki A.S.H. is still in superhero mode and she can't focus on the match. So after she had been defeated, Doudrop got in there again and said, listen, you absolute goober, you need to get serious, otherwise this is going to keep happening. I mean, Doudrop looked at Nikki as if she was her daughter who had just fallen off the stage during the school play, but I think we have something here. Just make sure you don't forget and make sure you build it week to week to week until they go against Sasha Banks and Naomi round two and this time become the tag team champions and Nikki A.S.H. can be like, I'm a villain now, or whatever you want to do. So there are seeds here. Allow them to grow, and it's getting it up. Also, because it is a Doudrop and Nikki, if you want, you can call their team Dan. Don't get why I'm not on the creative team. Raw then had a little wobble again, but I kind of found myself in two different positions. Because it was The Miz as the special guest referee as Ciampa was taking on Mustafa Ali. So I was like, okay, well, I'm obviously going to get shenanigans, but I'm also going to get Mustafa Ali versus Ciampa. There ain't no way that can be bad. It totally wasn't either, even though it only got 5 minutes, because these two guys are just so good. But our sports entertainment portion of the evening was that given The Miz was the referee, he kept fast counting Ciampa and he kept slow counting Ali. It's had so many good bits though, like when Ali super kicked Ciampa and then hit this springboard DDT. But obviously when he had the pin, Miz was all like, man, I'm so tired. One, two, and by that point, Ciampa had kicked down. And then Ciampa did get a reverse DDT, and The Miz got down. Honestly, it was the quickest count you'd ever seen in your life. Miz legged it afterwards, so we do have some kind of three-way here. But I am going to give it an up, because like I say, I knew what was going to happen before it did. I also got 5 minutes of Ali versus Ciampa. And please, if somebody could give them 15 on a premium live event, I would greatly appreciate it. And I am interested to see what is going to happen here, because it feels like Ciampa may join Judgment Day. Who the flub knows? For no reason, one of these Lacey Evans videos then aired on Raw, and I don't think we've ever done that before. And given what did happen on SmackDown, I now have the fear. So I'm going to stand here and wait and see. Because if WWE does actually use all of this to turn her into a heel, I don't know how I'm going to feel about it. It was also time for the 24/7 stuff, and it was so disappointing this week. Basically, R-Truth had chicked Reggie and Tozawa into meeting Dana Brooke and Tamina. There's no one Mina, because he was going to give them divorce papers. Tozawa was so upset, he ran off. Tamina, no one Mina, said to Truth, you've got to chase him. It's like, dude, you can do anything with the 24/7 title stuff. Why don't you make it super dumb? Like, why couldn't R-Truth be the divorce wizard? And when Reggie and Tozawa turned up, he waved his wand, and then magically, they were divorced. I want this to be offensively stupid, not run-of-the-mill nothing, and I'm giving it a down. And then we did get to our main event.
And I should have known.
Because as ever, I got all excited given that it was Bianca Belair versus Oscar, and who doesn't want to see that? Only idiots. And for the 3 minutes they did have, I was like, oh man, this is so damn good. Like at one point, Bianca went for the KOD, but Oscar reversed it into the armbar, so I made sure I got comfortable, because I'm an idiot and I wasn't looking at the time. Because instead, as soon as Becky Lynch was bored of this, she attacked and she called the disqualification, which means we had three in one night. And I'm sorry, no wrestling show should be doing more than one, because all that happens is this. Let's say you do a really good angle and someone gets disqualified, it's like, oh my gosh, it's so hard hitting. When you do the second one, diminishing returns. And when you get to the third one, nobody even cares anymore. Down. It also puts my already broken system in even more trouble, because can I even give them an up, because they only went 180 seconds, and this disappointed me even more because it was the last of the three. However, I'm a positive Pete, so I am going to give it an up, but that is only to put positivity into the world. You listen to me, WWE. I need Oscar versus Bianca Belair, and once again, I need 15 minutes, and no shenanigans, and no nonsense, and no outside, nothing. Because seriously, if you let them fly, they will be like birds. Which got us to the end of Raw, and I'll be honest with you, this one was very hit and miss. It actually does feel like now we do need to go get the WWE Raw Championship red belt thingamajig, and make sure we do put it back on there. I'm not sure WWE actually has a long-term plan, and they're always better when they do have a long-term plan. But just mostly for that Ken Owens stuff, it is getting it up.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.